Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And it's Sunday, January the 7th, 2024. Wow. I had to stop and think about that again. It's hard to believe. 2024, this is the first program that we're doing this year.
Right.
And, you know, we got to meet Ray Powers.
Yeah, he came by with his family.
He
it was
did.
Just so nice to spend some time with him and get to talk with him. And yeah, it was great.
It was really good. We had such a nice time. And, you know, I learned something about Ray that I would have never guessed in a million years.
What's that?
And it surprised me. We were just shooting the breeze a little bit, talking, and it came up that he has perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And not many people have that. So I thought, well, let me test him. I was holding my guitar in my hand. And I said, so if I say to you, sing an A, you can do that? And he hummed the note.
Uh-huh.
And when I hit the A string, he was right in tune with it.
Yeah.
And that is a rarity. And what a gift to have perfect pitch.
Right.
And, you know, his wife and his daughter sing very well. It was just such a blessing to have them here.
Right.
And they actually spent the Sabbath morning with us, and they came to the church, and then we had fellowship afterward.
Right.
It was just, I don't know, I'm still kind of pumped up from it.
Yeah, it was just nice to put a face with a name, you know, and he does so much for us.
He really does. He really does. And, you know, we were talking about having a face for radio. And he understood what we meant because I'm always told that constantly. But it's funny. But, you know, it's just so good. We appreciate all that he does for us. And we kind of got a little back end picture of what he has to do each and every week. And, you know, there's a lot to this, a lot more to it than what a lot of us think.
You know, as we were singing, I asked Ray, do you think you have enough software and enough computer power to make us sound good? He says, no.
That's so true. Yeah, you know, they now in studios, they have these things called pitch benders that will allow you to be able to get people in tune. And I don't think all of those electronics could help us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have fun. It's always good when we sing those old hymns. And you know, I think his wife particularly liked the fact that we did a lot of the older hymns that she grew up
with. She knew them.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was such a nice time. And Ray, again, thanks for all you do. And it was a blessing to have you here. And we look forward to you guys coming back here again.
Yeah.
And visiting with us sometime. And I told him, I assured him I was going to come up there into the New York area, and I was going to visit with him sometime soon. So I'm going to try to do that. But Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry, Prophecies of Hope, would you?
Well, Prophecies of Hope is just a little church in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. There's only a few of us that attend. Most of the people that join us will join us online, either on live stream or via Zoom. So we have more of an online ministry, online presence.
Mm-hmm.
And we come together on Wednesday evenings for a Bible study and prayer meeting. And then on a Sabbath, Saturdays, we have a Bible study at 9:30. And then at 11 a.m., we have our worship hour.
Yeah. And that's every single week. And if you want to tune in via Zoom, we'll send you that link. And if they want to contact you, Ed, what's the email address?
You can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or you can send us a general email. Sometimes people can't remember our names. It's office@prophecyhope.com. The website, and you've pointed this out in the past, Ed, is not Prophecies of Hope.
That's the name of our ministry,
yes.
But that's not the name of our website.
Right, because we couldn't get it. You know, these domain names are hard to get sometimes.
Right.
So the domain name, our web address, is prophecyhope.com. And on there, you'll find many sermons, and you'll find some old newsletters from the past.
Right.
And, you know, it's just so hard. We stay so busy. We haven't done any newsletters. We've kind of let that fall through because we've been trying to keep this program going and doing this every week. We've done a pretty good job the last year and a half or so.
Yeah.
And then, but the newsletter takes a lot of time to lay out and those things. But, you know, we'll try to do something like that, at least put out one at some point, and so people can kind of catch up on some of the right. things that are going on.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other thing, there was one other thing. Oh, when you go to the website, I made some adjustments on it this past weekend.
Okay.
And I got rid of a lot of the links for the radio program. So if you just click on the radio program year, they all open up on one screen, okay. and then you can just select by topic which one you want. If you're looking for a particular topic, you can just type in, like if you want to know about the Sabbath, you can uh-huh. type the word Sabbath in. Or if you want to know about death, you can type in death, or heaven, or Jesus' second coming. You can type those things into the search engine, and it will isolate and pull out the sermons and things that talk about those things. So is there any other business we have to do?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Okay. Would you say an opening prayer for us?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for the message you've given us in your word, the Bible. As we study these things today, study the book of Revelation and Daniel, study about prophecy, things that are yet to come, Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and understanding to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, last week when we were here in the studio, we were talking about, we've been talking the last few weeks about this Daniel chapter 7, and we started off with Daniel 2, we looked at Daniel 3, we went to Daniel 7, and then we ended up in Revelation. So there are a lot of overlaying prophecies, aren't
yes.
there, that kind of lay together between those two books.
Well, Daniel and Revelation, the prophecy in each book really is talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the symbols in Revelation 13 and the symbols in Daniel chapter 7, they're the same, except Daniel is looking forward mm-hmm. into time, and John the Revelator is looking from the period of Rome,
right.
which is the beast of Daniel 7, back in time to the kingdoms of Greece, Medo-Persia, and Babylon.
Yes. So, and you explained that just a couple of weeks ago, how one is looking from the perspective of what's in the future,
right.
and that John's looking from where he is back, and that's why those beasts were inverted.
Right, but not only that, John is looking at his present-day situation, too. And besides looking back, he's also looking forward from that time of pagan Rome rulership to see who is this beast that's coming into power.
Very true. And then we, just by way of review, we talked about this 1,260 days.
Yes.
Which we understood from Ezra and from, I think,
Numbers,
that was actually a day for a year.
It's actually right? Ezekiel.
Is it Ezekiel?
Yeah, Ezekiel 4:6.
Thank you for that.
And I think it's Numbers 14. I don't know the verse, though.
Okay. Yeah, it is Numbers 14, but I don't remember the verse either. But it talks about there being a day for each year,
yeah.
right? And so reconciling that time. And we found, if we know a little bit about history, when did that 1,260-year period begin?
It began in 538 A.D.
Okay.
It's when the general Justinian, and he was a Roman ruler, declared the Pope to be the head of all religions.
Okay. And then that ran through, if we just do the math, from 538, and that's A.D., mm-hmm. right? All the way up to 1260 would be 1798.
Yeah, and what happened in 1798? Napoleon's general Berthier went into Rome, took the Pope captive, mm-hmm. and the Pope died in captivity.
Okay.
This is the deadly wound that was healed.
And that's talked about in Revelation,
yes.
right? So as we were looking through these things, there are some overlaying verses between
yes.
Daniel 7 and Revelation 13. So since we've read Daniel 7, we've read a lot of Revelation chapter 13, why don't we kind of compare them a little
right.
bit?
Right. And I think what you're talking about is how can we know for sure who or what this beast represents.
Right.
And we do that by looking at the characteristics, the description of this beast in both Daniel 7 and Revelation 13.
Absolutely. So I think for the sake of, we didn't really discuss this. Daniel chapter 7, and, I know where the verses begin that talk about these things, but where would you like to start here? Do we want to read through the chapter a little bit?
It wouldn't hurt to read the whole chapter, actually.
Okay, so why don't we do that? It's not very long.
No.
It's about a little over a page in my Bible. So you want me just to start here?
Sure, and go ahead. Why don't you read verses 1 through 8 to start
okay.
with?
So it says, this is Daniel chapter 7. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird, and the beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling with the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom the 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
So when we look at the book of Daniel, there's multiple visions or dreams that Daniel has in this book.
Yes.
The first one beginning in chapter 2, the Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Right.
And Daniel was able, through the power of God, telling him what that dream meant.
Right.
And what the dream actually was.
The interpretation and what the dream was, right?
If you study these visions in Daniel, you'll understand that these dreams are all talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the coming history of the world.
Right.
And each dream gives a little bit more detail. If we look at the Daniel 7 and Daniel chapter 2, we can see that the first kingdom that's being talked about in Daniel 2 is the kingdom of Babylon,
right,
which is King Nebuchadnezzar. We can see that the first symbol or animal or beast coming up from the sea was like a lion and had eagle's wings.
Right.
So this represents the kingdom of Babylon.
Yes.
One of the symbols of the actual nation of Babylon was a lion.
That's true.
The Iskar Gate?
Ishtar Gate.
Ishtar Gate.
Yes.
Yeah,
it had actually, if there's a replica, actually the actual gate they've taken to Berlin.
Okay.
And it has lions on the gate.
Yeah.
So this was part of the Babylonian Empire.
Right. And we see that the next beast that comes up in Daniel 7 was like a bear. It was raised up itself on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth. And so we know through history that after the kingdom of Babylon came the kingdom of Medo-Persia.
That's right.
The bear was raised up on one side, because the Persian division of the kingdom, which came up last, became more powerful in that nation.
Yeah, so the bear's hunched up, showing kind of an imbalance in power, right?
And the three ribs may maybe signify some of the places they conquered, such as Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt.
Correct. That's right. And so we see this. That's verse 5 of Daniel 7. It says,
yeah, so that beast like correlates with the chest and arms of silver
that we found in Daniel 2.
Yes.
And so the lion was the head of gold also, right? And so this bear is the chest and arms of silver. And so we can see, even like you said, Ed, right there in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, there's clarity telling us the history of the world.
Right.
And at that time, when Daniel was penning these words, these things hadn't happened yet. He was in the province of Babylon, and Medo-Persia hadn't taken over yet.
You know, a lot of people have challenged that. They say, well, the book of Daniel is written after these things occurred.
Right.
But you know what? There was a little boy throwing stones into the mouth of caves, and he heard this clink of something breaking.
Yeah, it sounded like glass breaking.
Right? And inside this pot were the Dead Sea Scrolls.
That's right.
Which proved that these things were written before they actually occurred.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And that was actually in the 20th century when that happened. So it's amazing to me how, you know, people will challenge, they'll make all of these accusations. Well, the Bible's not this and it's not that. And then somehow God finds a way to reveal those things. So far, every prophecy that we see here in Daniel, everything happened in the order that it said, even though this was prophesied in about 600 B.C.
Yeah.
So we think about that. So we're moving quickly through history here. We're going from about 600 B.C. when he penned this to the time of the Medes and the Persians, and then we have this leopard power.
Right.
What is
so that? The leopard power correlates with the belly and thighs of brass of the vision in Daniel 2.
Right.
And it represents Greece. You notice that this leopard had four wings.
Yeah,
which does. Wings represent speed. And so Alexander the Great conquest of the world, pretty much the known world, happened very quickly.
It did.
And so these four wings represent the speed at which he did this. And it also had four heads. Mm-hmm. And if you know the history of Greece, that Alexander the Great died at a very young age, shortly after he conquered most of the then known world.
He was only 32 when he died.
And so over a series of years, he had two sons, both which were killed to, you know, allow somebody else to take over the control of Greece. And eventually it came down to four generals that took over his kingdom. And it was split into four different empires, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And so these are the four heads that are represented here in Daniel 6.
Okay.
So Daniel 7, there's this fourth beast, had great iron teeth. He devoured in broken pieces and stamped the rest with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns. Mm. So this represents the iron legs of the vision of chapter 2 of Daniel.
Right.
And so what kingdom is this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Historians have called Rome the Iron Monarchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's used more than once in historical documents.
Right.
And you know, one of the things that's really important about this image is you notice that the Babylonian Empire was the head. That was the gold.
Right.
And then the chest and arms of silver, the belly of bronze or brass, it depends on what translation, and then the legs of iron. So as the top of that image, gold is the most valuable.
Right.
The golden empire of Babylon, right? They were very wealthy, but it's also the least amount of strength in gold.
Yes.
Of those four elements. And then silver's not as strong or is stronger than gold, but not as strong as brass or bronze.
Right.
And then iron, though, you know, the Roman soldiers used iron swords.
Right.
And some of these other guys would use brass or bronze.
Right.
And an iron sword would cut
a
brass or bronze sword in half.
Right.
So it's interesting how those elements were all part of the resources or the kingdoms that were represented there. God knows how to prophesy, doesn't he?
Right. You know, it's interesting that looking at Daniel 7:7, it talks about this beast was different than all before it, and it had 10 horns.
Yeah, it does say that.
10 and horns. Horns represent power or kingdoms. And as history would go on, Rome was divided into, or was these horns represent 10 kingdoms that were to come and conquer Rome eventually.
Right.
And they were the Huns, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Franks, the Vandals, the Suevi, the Burgundians, the Heruli, the Anglo-Saxons, and the Lombards.
Okay. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. So the Lombards represent what?
I would say Italy. Does that sound right?
I don't know. Anglo-Saxons.
Yeah, Lombards are the Italians. English, or English, like Lombardy.
And
right?
The Franks, Germans.
Right.
And what's interesting, though, of these 10 kingdoms, these 10 horns, in Daniel 8, it talks about there came up among them a little horn before three of the first horns were uprooted.
Hmm.
So three of these kingdoms were destroyed, done away with.
So just to make sure that the listener understands, what you're saying is that there are 10 divisions. These 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms, which I guess today we would call Europe.
Yeah.
Right?
Back then, they called them the barbarian tribes.
Okay.
That would come and invade Rome.
Okay. And so we have the Germans, the Swiss, the French, the Italians, the English, the Portuguese, and the Spanish. Those are seven of them. But then there are these three tribes that are now extinct.
Yeah.
Right?
And they were the Heruli, the Ostrogoths, and the Vandals.
Yes.
So, I don't know how far you want to go into why these people were destroyed.
I think it's important that our listeners know and understand what happened here, don't you?
Yes, there's a religious component to this.
There is. There absolutely is.
These three tribes believed in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ.
And you might say, well, don't all of these believe that?
No, they believed in the doctrine of the Trinity, that there's one God in three persons,
right,
or three gods into one. I'm not sure how you can actually explain that.
Right.
And so they were persecuted, and basically genocide occurred with these tribes. And they were killed because of their beliefs.
Yeah, it says, let's see, where was that? It talks about these 10 horns, and then in verse 8 it says, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them.
Yes.
Right? Before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots.
Right.
So these three horns that were plucked out by this little horn are the ones that you said, what did you say, Heruli, Vandals, and Ostrogoths.
Yes.
Right?
And these were opposed to that successor of pagan Rome, which is Papal Rome. And
okay.
So the Papal Rome used the civil authority of the pagan Rome. There was a time where they both existed together,
right,
to destroy these other three people groups or tribes or kingdoms.
Okay. So when it says, when it talks about this horn uprooting them, so it basically, because these three tribes didn't accept what the papacy was teaching,
right,
they were put to death or they were wiped out?
Yes.
So this sounds like the Dark Ages,
yes,
time period, what took place there by many people.
Well, you know, you think of that term uprooted.
Yeah.
You have a tree or a bush. You can cut it down, but as long as it has roots, it's potential to grow.
Very true.
And to come grow again. if something's uprooted, there's no chance for it to come back.
Yeah, if you get it at the root, it's not coming back. So these three tribes were just, they're extinct now.
Right.
But these other countries still exist to this day.
Yes.
They're still there. And they make up what we would call Europe.
And we can see that in the prophecy of Daniel 2, where iron is mixed with clay in the feet of this image.
Okay. All right. And then, of course, that image on those feet, it has 10 toes.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it? So this is pretty interesting how all of these little things tie together.
Right. Now, this little horn, let's look at the characteristics of this little
okay.
horn. We'll continue to look at them as we continue to read in Daniel 7. But in verse 8, it said that this little horn, the horn's eyes were like the eyes of a man, mm-hmm. and the mouth speaking great things.
Yeah, mine says pompous words.
Yeah.
That's what mine says.
So let's continue to read about this. Let's go to Daniel 7, 9 through 12.
All right. Are you reading that?
Yeah, I can read this. The Modern King James, starting with verse 9. I watched until the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days sat, whose robe was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the flames of fire, and his wheels like burning fire. And a stream of fire went out and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Then I looked because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. I watched until the beast was slain, his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. And the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were made longer for a season and time.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot there. So this Ancient of Days, it says, I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. Who is this Ancient of Days?
The Ancient of Days, the most ancient person I can think of is Jehovah.
Yeah.
Who has no beginning.
The God of the universe.
Yeah.
So here we have the Ancient of Days, it says, was seated. His garment, mine says, was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. So this is speaking about the Father, Jesus' Father.
Yeah, and he's sitting on his throne.
Hmm.
You know, this description of the throne here in Daniel 7, 9 is kind of like the description of the throne that Ezekiel sees in the beginning of the book of Ezekiel.
Yeah, that's true. It is similar, isn't it?
Yeah. And so we see here that that he had 10,000 times 10,000 that ministered to him and served him. And the judgment was set. And the books were opened. So judgment of what or whom, and what are these books that were opened?
Wow, that's a good question. So in other words, this is during this time, there's some kind of a legal thing taking place.
Well, when you ever had to go to court?
Yeah, I have.
I
traffic
have
violation usually is a speeding ticket.
Yeah, I've had to go and testify involving my work once, and then some divorce proceedings, things like that.
Right.
And the judge sits there and he investigates. He asks questions to determine what is happening, what the conflict is, and to come up with a judgment or a resolution according to his way of thinking, according to the law.
Right. In other words, if you have broken the law, then there's a penalty that will come, right? There's a consequence.
Right. And so these books that are open have to do with, well, what has happened? Who said what?
Hmm.
You know, just evidence that he can go by to determine a just decree.
You know, we've talked about this, I think, in a past broadcast, Ed, where we looked at Revelation chapter 20, where there are books that are opened.
Right.
And then there's a book that's opened. So here, this is plural. This is using the word books.
Mm-hmm.
So if I remember right, when we had talked about this in one of our past programs, we talked about the books contain the deeds of those who that are all written down. And the book that was in Revelation is the book of life.
Right. And so here we have this term books in Daniel 7:10. And so I don't know how many people understand this, but the Bible is pretty clear that God has remembrance of everything we say and do because it is written down. We have an angel recording everything that we do and say.
And there, here's the scripture text for that. And if we go to Ecclesiastes, and I keep this in mind, I've remembered this for many years because if you've ever, as a kid, a lot of times, and even as adults, you think, well, I'm in this room alone. There's no windows. Nobody can see me. They don't know what's going on. Well, there is someone who can see you.
Yeah.
And it says here, I'm going to begin in Ecclesiastes 12. I'm going to start with verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. And then here's the verse you were citing, Ed. It says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So somehow, I don't know how he does it, but God has a way of recording every thought, every action, everything that we do. And that's going to come into play. This is why we need Jesus.
Right.
This is why we need Jesus. And so you might look back, and I'm not saying this to discourage you, friends. I'm saying this to encourage you. You might look back in your past and say, well, look at these things, these horrible things that I can remember that I did. If these things are written down, there are details there that I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But if you're in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ can take those things away.
He blots them out.
Absolutely. And so where we stand with Christ at the time of these books being reviewed is very important.
Let me share a text in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16. This is, again, the modern King James, Malachi 3:16. Then those fearing Jehovah spoke together, each man to his neighbor, and Jehovah listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear Jehovah and for those esteeming his name.
Wow.
God has a record of those who love him and share his name with others.
Absolutely. You know, so many times we may have the tendency to look at God and say, well, he's a God of judgment, and he's this God that is vengeful. He wants you to be saved. That's why he sent his son. And really, this is why we're looking at these prophecies in Daniel, because Daniel understood that there was a plan of salvation.
Yeah.
He understood that there were better things to come, right?
Yeah.
And we are living in a pivotal, critical time in history. And particularly, if you are alive and listening to this now, make a choice. Don't wait.
Yes.
Don't put it off. You know, I know this is a little away from what we're talking about, but this all relates, Ed. It's all together, isn't it? Who are we going to worship?
Right.
Are we going to worship the true God? Or are we going to follow this beast power that we're going to be talking about, that we've been talking about?
Right. Do you remember the account of Moses and the Ten Commandments?
Mm-hmm.
And Moses was gone up on the mountain with God for, I believe, 40 days and 40 nights, and the people were upset and wondering where he was. So they made a golden calf image to worship.
Yeah.
And Moses was upset, came down, broke the tablets, and he had a conversation with God. And in this conversation with God, in Exodus 32:32, he says this, "And now will you forgive their sin? And if not, I pray you, blot me out of your book which you have written."
Wow, so that was Moses saying to God, blot me out to save their lives.
Yes.
So what do you see in this? There's a type here, isn't it?
Jesus gave up his life to save our lives, to give us the potential to have eternal life because of this gift of salvation through his death on the cross. We're reconciled to God, and we're saved by his life, the life that he now wants to live within us.
Amen. So really what we're looking at when we look at these timelines in Daniel and we look at Revelation and we see what's taking place, God has allowed he's allowing people to make a choice for him or not.
Right. And you know, this idea of judgment is not all scary.
No, it's not.
Because you can see that we have an opportunity for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because his blood blots out this record of sins if we confess our sins, if we repent from these sins, turn away from these sins.
Yes.
Through the power of a living Christ.
That's right. So blotting out, you know, that's blot is not something that a lot of people, it's not a word people use today.
Right.
But when I was a kid, if something got on mom's carpet, she would go and get a damp cloth and she would blot it. And that means just kind of
would draw it out.
Yeah. And eventually, you know, she would work it enough that you wouldn't even know there was a spot there.
Right.
You wouldn't even know something was spilled there.
Right.
And that's what the blood of Christ does. It blots out your sin to where you don't know. You won't even recognize that you were a sinner because he's taken that away to where we won't sin anymore.
Right. Some people look at this judgment as God wanting to point his finger at you and say, I've got you.
No.
But that same book, that same record of our lives, those things can be forgiven and blotted out because of the gift he's given us of his son.
Yeah, I don't know of any good parent that wants to find fault with their child.
No.
They're looking for a reason to help their child.
Right.
We are children of God, right?
Yes.
We're all God's children. Now, whether we choose to be a rebellious child or not, that's up to us.
Right.
But he has made the provision to save each and every person. That means you. That means you. No matter what your sins are, no matter what you have done, no matter what you may have done today, if you are alive and you're listening to this program, it is not too late for you to make a choice and say, God, send the Spirit of your Son into my heart.
Yes.
Right?
And what's interesting about this little section we read is in verses 11 and 12, that because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I watched until the beast was slain. Daniel was looking at this judgment scene, but the words of this little horn, the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, took his attention away from that.
Hmm.
And he saw what happened to this little horn. He would eventually be slain, and the body would be destroyed and given to burning flame. And the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were made longer for a season and time.
Hmm.
So let's go on and read verses 13 and 14. Can you read that for us?
Sure. This is Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. He says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one which shall not be destroyed.
So in Daniel 13, this one like the Son of Man is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
You know, in this scene before us, in this judgment scene, Jesus Christ is our high priest. He's our advocate. He's our mediator.
Amen.
He represents those who have chosen to follow him and claim redemption through his blood and through his spirit that God has sent into our hearts and minds. But yet here in Daniel 13, we see a change.
Hmm.
The judgment has been completed. Now it's time for Jesus to receive his kingdom that God has promised him, his kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom and shall not pass away and shall not be destroyed. Wow, that sounds kind of like Daniel chapter 2.
Yeah, you know, Daniel chapter 2, I'm glad you said that, Ed, because in verse 44, at the end of this, when Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar his dream, he says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this this time period that we're talking about in Daniel 2:44 is talking about the very end of time.
Yeah, the end of the world is
right.
What we're talking
That's
about.
Exactly what it's talking about, that God will establish his kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus prayed for, thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
yeah.
Right? So we see this theme, the kingdom that God promised from the beginning in Genesis 3:15, when he said that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, that there would be enmity between them.
Right.
And that eventually what's going to happen is that the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would crush the serpent's head.
Which is Satan.
That's right. The yeah. serpent is Satan.
So here we see a change from Christ being our high priest to now becoming a king, that God has given him dominion in this kingdom.
Okay, so we know, we've talked in the past about high priests. So in other words, what's happening here is Jesus, while he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he goes from being the priest of the people
right.
to being the king of the people.
And you remember, as Christ being a priest, he is bringing his blood that was shed on the cross before his Father for forgiveness of our sins. And see, this is my blood that was shed for them.
Just like the sacrifices in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But this time, there's one sacrifice for
right.
all, right?
Christ is only sacrificed one time.
Amen.
And it's the blood of that sacrifice that he brings into the most holy place just before the end of time, for that day of atonement in the sanctuary in heaven where sin is done away with.
So when you say sin is done away with, that means that there will never be another sinner.
Right. Because God will send his Son to this earth, and those that love him and are looking for his coming, whether asleep in the grave or alive
right.
at that time, will be caught up in the air with him and taken to heaven for 1,000 years.
Right.
The rest will stay in the grave or will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming.
Mm-hmm.
Those that love sin more than the love of God and his Son.
And so we know that the ultimate goal here is not to have sin perpetuated. You know, that's how the study started not that long
right.
ago.
Do you remember the story of these three kingdoms that the little horn uprooted?
Yes.
The same with sin. There will be no root nor branch, no way for it to reoccur.
Isn't that amazing?
Because those that love sin will be destroyed. Those that love God and want to follow his Son, Jesus Christ, those are the ones that will be safe to save.
Safe to save. Can you explain that just a little bit? Because
sure.
that's such a beautiful thought.
This isn't our saying. This is someone who is visiting us, a friend of ours. Her name is actually Sherry. She made this comment that God, when he looks at this judgment, he's looking at the record of people's lives. He wants to make sure that you're safe to save, that you not desire to follow Satan in
That's
his
it.
Way of life, that you desire to follow God, and that you will have removed sin from your life, basically.
Yes. And the only way that we can do that is not by my might
no.
or by my power. It's by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me.
Yes.
That's the only way that I can become safe to save.
Right.
That's the only way. And so keep in mind, you know, through all of these things, even in Daniel's day, we saw earlier on how God didn't leave those three Hebrews in that
yes.
fiery furnace by themselves. One like the Son of Man
yes.
or the Son of God was in there with them,
right?
Right? And so today we can have that same protection from the things that maybe cause us to want to sin.
Mm-hmm.
We can have that same type of protection as them being in that furnace. We're right here in a world that's trying to devour us.
Right. Remember, Satan's still going to tempt you. He tempts all of
sure.
us. It's what you do with that temptation. Christ is tempted in all ways like where you were, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to help you overcome these things. He makes a way of escape to rescue you in your time of need.
He does. He does. So, you know, I realize that there's a lot of information here, but what we're trying to do is show that the gospel is right here in
yes.
Daniel 2.
Yes.
And Daniel 7 and Revelation 13.
These all represent what's going to happen so that God can come and his Son can save his people.
Amen. So let's give a little clarity here, because we've looked at Daniel 7. Last week we read part of Revelation 13. Can we compare some of the things that we find in these verses?
Yes, let's look at that. Let's continue in Daniel 7.
Okay.
Can you read just 15 through the end of the chapter?
Sure. Daniel 7, beginning in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. Then the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, and times, and half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Wow. So there's a lot of information here about these four great beasts, or four kings that will arise out of the earth.
So this is describing what we had read in the previous verses of Daniel 7. He's giving the interpretation right here.
And the fourth beast, it talks about teeth of iron, nails of bronze, which devoured in broken pieces and stamped the rest with his feet.
Mm-hmm.
The ten horns, which came up, before, and the other one which came up, that little horn, before whom three fell, that horn had eyes, a mouth speaking very great things, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And he made war with the saints and overcame them. It talked about this horn should wear out the saints of the Most High, plot to change times and laws, verse 25, and shall be given into his hand until a time and times and half times. So these are some of the characteristics. That. So maybe you can list those for us, Mark.
Okay, some of these characteristics that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. If we just a kind of a review of the chapter, in Daniel 7, verse 8, it says, the little horn, or kingdom coming up among them, the ten horns were the kingdoms of Europe, we've determined, right? So this little horn is coming up among those kingdoms.
So in terms of where in placement on the earth, it's in Europe someplace.
Yes, it has to be.
Okay.
Because you named all of those horn powers. Yeah. We named them. And so it says in Daniel, again, 7 verse 8, it plucked out by the roots. And you talked about, what does it mean when you pull out by the root?
No chance of growing back.
Yeah. And so those were the three kingdoms, I think, Ostrogoths, Vandals, and Heruli.
Yeah.
I think that was it. And then the third point is in Daniel 7, 8, once again, it would have a man as its head, and it would be speaking pompous words. We saw that in verse 25 also, these pompous words. So a man speaks for it, whatever this power is. And then the next point is in Daniel 7, 24. It says it would be different from the other kingdoms. So it's very different in the type of power that this is. And even the time, the length of time that the rulership is.
Well, it describes time here in verse 25.
Yes, it does. What's it say there?
It says that the saints, that this power, this little horn, will speak words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, plot to change times and laws, and shall be given into his hand until time and times and half times, talking about his persecution of the saints of God.
Yes. So, and we talked about that weeks ago, that's mentioned 7 times in Scripture. Right here, it's time, times, and half a time, or dividing of time.
So let's go over, see, what is a time?
It's singular. It's one.
Okay, so that's 1 year.
Yes.
Remember, this is a vision given to Daniel.
Right.
He is part of the Jewish nation. So we use the Jewish calendar.
Yes, he did.
So 1 year is 360 days.
Correct. It's not like we reconcile time today.
Right. And so times is two.
Two.
So 1 plus 2 equals 3.
Three.
And then a half time is a half a year.
That's
so it's
correct.
3.5 years, which represents 1,260
days. 1,260
days. It also represents 42 months.
That's correct.
Because there's 30 days to a month.
So those are the three time divisions that are used to speak about the same period of time.
Right, and we see that in prophecy in Daniel and Revelation.
We do. We do. So we see then, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about times. It says a plot to change times and laws. This is a characteristic of this little horn beast.
It is a characteristic. And so when you think of times and law, what comes to your mind? There's a power that actually tried to do this.
Well, again, we're talking about Daniel. And, of course, Daniel is a Jew, so it has reference to do with the Jewish nation, and the law in the Jewish nation is the law of God, the Ten Commandments.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. So this power wants to change the law of God, and it says by changing the times or time.
Right.
So, you know, when we read the Bible, if we go back to Genesis in chapter 1, when it separates the days, it says there was evening and morning a first day.
Yeah.
There was evening and morning a second day. So the way that time was reconciled, according to Daniel and the clock that they used, their days went from sunset to sunset.
Yes.
Right? So when the sun goes down today, a new day has begun.
Right.
One day has ended, the next one begins. So the Roman power, this power, actually, we're on the Roman timetable where the days end and begin at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we use pretty much globally today.
Yeah.
And then what about changing the law, Ed? How did that happen?
Well, so if you look at the commandments of God, what in the Ten Commandments of God has to do with time?
I would say the Sabbath.
Yeah. So what does that commandment say? Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11.
And let's see. I don't have it in front of me. Remember the Sabbath day. That's time, Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall do all your work.
Again, time.
Right. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God.
Again, time.
Yes. In it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your stranger who is within your gates. And then he gives the reason why. Because in 6 days, time again, God made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
So that commandment starts out with the word remember.
Remember.
What are they supposed to remember? That God, after his creation, rested on the seventh day.
Yes, he did.
And made it holy. He sanctified it and made it holy. And they were to remember that. In doing so, by keeping the Sabbath day, they were to recognize his authority in their life and that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Yes. So all of this, so when we look at Daniel 7:25, this, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute, there's a lot in that verse, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. This should start cluing people in a little
right.
bit as to who this power is. And shall intend, it doesn't say shall change times and law, he intends to change times and law, right? And then they were given into his hand for a time, times and half a time, or 1260 years.
So was there a period in the history of earth that's already occurred where God's people, the saints, were persecuted for 1260 years?
It was during that time we call the Dark Ages.
Yeah, the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages. Yeah.
And I realize, friends, we've talked about this, but you see how methodical these things are. So we still have like five or six things to cover here just in Daniel 7.
Right.
So maybe next week we can review this. We'll cover those other things, and then we're going to overlay this with Revelation 13.
Yes.
And when you see how that works out, it is just, it's amazing. It really is. And it really should help you to understand that the Bible is not just a book that's just written by people.
When you look at all the characteristics of Daniel 7 and then Revelation 13, combine them together, because they're the same prophecy,
mm-hmm.
there's only one kingdom or power that this can point to.
Yes.
There's none other on earth.
There's
that
none
fits
other.
All those characteristics.
And we will sound that down next Sunday.
Yeah.
So we're out of time, friends, so we have to say a prayer. So let's close
right.
the study with prayer. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing your word, the Bible, is. We're just so grateful that you have given us these things to help us to recognize who you are, who your Son is, the plan of salvation, the fact that you sent your Son to save humanity, and Father, that you spell these things out, that we can know that you are the one true God and who your Son is. Father, we ask that you will be with us until we come together again. We ask for your blessing to be upon those who are listening, and just ask that they will turn to you in their time of need and recognize their need for Christ Jesus in their lives. Father, we're grateful for all of the time that we've had here together this evening, and we're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, I guess I'll see you here next Sunday evening, 7 p.m. And friends, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.